Now, this morning we're starting into a series that we put the title on Jesus Behaving Badly. It's looking at some of those incidents in the Gospels where we might question the behavior of Jesus, why he does what he does, and whether it's appropriate for Jesus to act as he does. And really the very first incident we're going to look at is one that happens in Jesus' early life. And we read about it here in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I'm going to end the reading of God's word there this morning. You'll see from the title that I want to spend a little bit of time addressing parents in particular. At the end, I'm going to speak to young people among us in particular, but hopefully as we go through it, you'll see that the things that we're talking about are applicable to each one of us also. So let's pray and then we're going to begin. So Father, we thank you for your word, and we recognize that these words that we read come from you, that these are not just our own ideas or what we think or what we're learning simply from the life of another person, but these are given for our instruction. And so we pray for those who are parents among us that you would give help to fulfill the role that you have given to them. We pray for those of us who are children that you would help us to honor and respect our parents and the role that has been given to them over us. And we pray that together we might recognize the great relationship that it's possible to have with our Father in heaven. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've become so vigilant in the care of children that we can't even begin to imagine how this situation arises in the first place. Joseph and Mary don't even realize that Jesus is missing for a whole day. But some of us grew up in different times. As kids, we could be gone all day. We'd be gone cycling around some lakes that were near our home or playing football on the green without ever feeling any need to check in with our parents. Even then, however, I think my parents would have realized I was missing before 24 hours had elapsed. But things were different in the world that Jesus grew up. On a journey like this, a large group of people traveling together, making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, well, it was a community affair. Everyone looked out for everyone else. Joseph and Mary hadn't seen Jesus for some time, but they assumed that he was among their relatives and friends. Think of our coffee time on a Sunday morning, and your assumption that someone else is looking after the kids, even if you can't see them. That's the kind of thing that's happening on a much grander scale. But can you imagine the panic when they realize that no one has seen Jesus for quite a long time? I remember two occasions when, as children, we lost my sister. Not intentionally, at least I don't think it was intentionally. And one was at a large outdoor market and another was in the center of Belfast. When my mum and dad realised that Carrie-Anne was missing, they deposited me in the care of a shopkeeper while they went around the city looking for her. Thankfully, it was a sweet shop, and I was wonderfully looked after until they returned. But perhaps even stranger in this encounter that we read in Luke chapter 2 is the response of Jesus when his parents find him. Well, it seems a bit arrogant, doesn't it? A little condescending. Certainly not the way we would expect Jesus as a child to talk to his parents. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But the words of Jesus were a necessary rebuke to both Mary and Joseph. And they're a necessary rebuke to all parents who think that their relationship takes priority over all other relationships and that their plans take priority over all other plans. You see, there is a relationship that takes priority over our relationship with our children. And Mary and Joseph needed to be reminded of that. And for those who are parents, we need to be reminded of the same thing. Like Mary and Joseph, we can overstep our God-given responsibilities and assume that our relationship takes priority over all other relationships. But Jesus had a heavenly Father. Yes, he was a child of Mary by miraculous conception. Yes, he had been entrusted into the care of both Mary and Joseph as his earthly parents, but there was a relationship that was to take priority over their relationship with Jesus. It was his relationship with his heavenly Father. And these first recorded words of Jesus in the Gospels make that abundantly clear. Now, our English translations add an extra word to make sense of the original language. Some translations might have the word in italics, just to point out that it's not actually there. In the translation we read this morning, it is the word house. In some other translations, it is the word business. That word isn't there, but it's inserted by the translators to try to make sense of what Jesus is saying. Because this is what Jesus simply says: didn't you know I had to be about my father's? And that's it. Didn't you know I had to be about my father's? It places the emphasis on the relationship. The relationship that Jesus has with his heavenly Father takes priority over his relationship with his earthly parents. He is the eternal Son of God. He has enjoyed fellowship with his Father in heaven from before the creation of the world. And it is a fellowship that will continue long after Mary and Joseph have passed away, long after the earth itself passes away. It is a relationship that will never pass away. It is eternal. Now, each of us are people created by God in his image. We have been knit together by God in our mother's womb. We are known by God before we are ever known by our parents. And God wants us to have a relationship with him that will outlast any earthly human relationship. He wants us to enjoy eternal life with him. There is no relationship more important than having this relationship with a heavenly Father. But Mary and Joseph are anxious parents. When they realize that no one has seen Jesus since the previous day, they return to Jerusalem and they search for him for 3 days. They are naturally anxious. And they say as much in verse 49, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. But do you notice the words that Mary says first? Son, why have you treated us like this? As parents, we have that tendency, don't we? To take the actions of our children as personal attacks upon us. They lie to avoid getting into trouble. And all we can say is, why have you treated us like this? They get into trouble at school. And what we say is, why have you done this to us? In adult life, their behaviour is far from admirable, and all we can say is, don't you have any concern for us? How does this make us look? You see, we so easily make ourselves the centre of their lives, the thing around which their life revolves, rather than seeing that the only person who deserves that position is God Himself. Most of our anxiety in life regarding our children arises from the fact that we put ourselves in God's place, that we see it as our role to direct the lives of our children, that we hold ourselves responsible for anything that goes wrong in life, and we take their actions either as personal attacks or reasons for personal pride. Mary and Joseph needed to be reminded that there was a relationship that took priority over their relationship. And it's a lesson that every parent must continually learn. But we also have here a thoughtful mother. Rather than being offended by the words of Jesus, and even though she doesn't fully understand what Jesus is saying, we're told in verse 21 that his mother treasured all these things in her heart. She reflected on what Jesus said. She thought about what Jesus said. This isn't the first time that this has been said about Mary. Remember, after the birth of Jesus, shepherds turn up at the manger telling Mary and Joseph about angels appearing in the sky, telling them that the Messiah has been born, that God's Savior has come, giving them directions to the very place that Jesus has been born. And we're told back there in verse 19 of chapter 2 that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was a thoughtful mother. She reflected upon who Jesus was, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But in the course of life, it seems that she lost focus of those things, that she forgot who this child actually was. And this incident reminds Mary of something that she already knew, but had so easily forgotten, that there was a relationship that takes priority over her relationship with Jesus. And in the busyness of our own lives, it's so easy to forget that the most important relationship for anyone to have is not with our parents or with our children, but with our Creator, who desires to be our Heavenly Father. And we need to be constantly reminded of that fact, because it is so easy to forget, so easy for the busyness of life to take over, so easy to put ourselves at the center of things and to push God out of his rightful place, the place that only belongs to him. Not only is there a relationship that takes priority over all other relationships, but there is a plan that takes priority over our plans. And this will be a lesson that Mary would have to learn again later in life. Consider the wedding at Cana in John chapter 2. You know the story well. There's a shortage of wine. Mary comes to Jesus, pushing him forward to do something about it. But Jesus has to say, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." It seems that Mary has come to terms with who Jesus is. Well, and now she has a wonderful plan for his life, what he should do. She wants to organize the details of his life, how he's going to be launched out into his ministry. Now she must learn that there is a plan that takes priority over her plan. Jesus is not to be directed by his earthly mother. He is to be directed by his heavenly Father. Consider next the intervention. You know how this works. Someone's family and friends are concerned about them. Might be some kind of addictive behavior which is destroying their life. So the friends and family get together, come up with a plan, an intervention. We'll all sit him down, tell him how much we love him, and that we're concerned about him. Now, with Jesus, it wasn't an addiction, but it was certainly his behavior. He's moved out from home. He's roaming the country as a self-appointed teacher. Crowds were following him everywhere he went. He moved around from one person's home to another, and everywhere he stayed, the word would get out and more crowds would gather around him. Who does he think he is? His brothers might have asked. What they did say was this: he's out of his mind. And they went to take charge of him. This wasn't a normal lifestyle for an ordinary first century Jewish carpenter. Jesus needed to be put back in his rightful place, to be put back in his box. And it's not just the brothers, the jealous brothers with the inferiority complex. No, Mary is there too. This isn't the kind of life that Mary has in mind for her son. This is not what Mary had planned out. But there is a plan that takes priority over our plans. Then there is the piercing sword. Motherhood would not be the joyful experience that Mary was expecting it to be. On a previous occasion that Mary had come to the temple with Jesus, she had met Simeon, who had prophesied about all that Jesus would do. But his closing words were these: a sword will pierce your own soul too. Jesus would be the long-awaited Saviour, but in order to be that Saviour, he would have to take the sins of all of humankind upon himself and to die upon the cross. And Mary, his mother, would stand and watch her own son be crucified. Motherhood would not be the joyful experience that she had hoped for. A sword would pierce her own soul too. Perhaps you've had that experience as a parent. You had wonderful aspirations for your children. They would get married and they would have children. They'd get a great job at which they would excel. You would be one big happy family where everyone gets on with everybody else. But perhaps the reality has been very different. Instead, life has been filled with unmet expectations. They never married. You don't have grandchildren. They have struggled to find work that is suitable for them. The relationship with the family is cold and distant. Maybe it's been filled with painful experiences. They've struggled with illness. They've been hurt in relationships. They have suffered immense loss. And all you've been able to do as a parent is to watch on, unable to do anything to change the circumstances of their lives. But there is a plan that takes priority over our plans for our children. There is a God who rules over all things, who is at work in the midst of our unmet expectations and works for good, even in our most painful experiences. Now, if the young people among us have fallen asleep, this is where you need to wake up. Because I want to end this morning with a word for what I'm going to call twaddles. I'm sure you've heard the word tween, someone who's between childhood and teenage years, a wannabe teenager. Well, a twaddle is a wannabe adult. I actually thought I had coined this phrase myself, but I was so disappointed when I discovered it already existed. I was insulting one young woman in the church here by calling her a twaddle, a wannabe adult, and she repaid me the compliment by calling me a tweener citizen. I'm not going to mention any names. So So as we think about putting parenthood in its proper place, I want to end with a word for twaddles. Those of you who think you should have greater independence, that your parents don't have the right or authority to tell you what to do, and that you should be able to make all your own decisions about life. Jesus was obedient to his earthly parents. Now think about the weight of that for a minute. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was obedient to his earthly parents. Look at verse 51. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And we're not talking about 5-year-old Jesus or 8-year-old Jesus. We're talking about 12-year-old Jesus, the stage at which a Jewish boy was recognized as entering into manhood. And what does Jesus do? He went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Take time to let that sink in. The eternal Son of God, the one who was active in creating the world, the one who sustains all things that exist, would enter into human life, not only submitting himself to the limits of being a human being, but even submitting himself to the commands and discipline of human parents. Now, if Jesus was obedient to his earthly parents, then you have no excuse not to be. You see, the home was God's chosen place for Jesus to mature. Not in the temple in Jerusalem, surrounded by the teachers of the law, discussing grand ideas about God and who God is and what God's purposes are. Not working it out for himself as he thought best, but in an ordinary home with imperfect parents. The chapter ends in verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now, you might think that your parents don't know much. I'm not going to try to convince you any different to that. And that you know better than them what is for your good. But the home is God's chosen place for you to mature into the person God wants you to be. It was in the home that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. It was in the context of family relationships, with all the struggles that come with that, that Jesus increased in wisdom. As twaddles, we can so easily be focused on how different life would be if only I was free from the constraints of the family. But God knows better. He knows that the home is the perfect place to begin to grow into the person that he wants you to be. He knows that we need the constraints that we so much want to be free from and that we so much fight against. But the home was God's chosen place for Jesus to mature, and it is God's chosen place for you to mature also. You see, the role of parents is far more important than you think it is. Of course, parents need to put parenting in its proper place. Parents can be inclined to think too much of their role, that their relationship takes priority as a parent over all other relationships, that their plan takes priority over all other plans for their children. But that is not to diminish the role that God intends for parents. Parents, even imperfect parents, are to be honored because they are God's chosen instrument to make us into the people that he wants us to be. Let's pray together. Father, we recognize that all of us have wanted to be free from the constraints of parents and the restrictions of home. And yet we pray that you would help us to recognize that you know better, that you know that we need those kind of constraints. We need the reality of growing up in a home with all of the difficulties that that can have in relationships to make us into the kind of person you want us to be, for us to grow in character and to mature as people. We pray for the children and young people in the church here, and we pray that you would use the homes in which you have placed them to make them into the people that you want them to be. We pray that you would help them to honour parents, even imperfect parents. And we pray for those who are parents that you would help us to seek to set good and godly examples for our children, and yet to trust that even in the mess of life and the things that go wrong in life, that you are at work to fulfill your plans and purposes for them. And so, Father, we pray that you protect us from thinking that our relationship takes priority over your relationship, and that our plans take priority over the plans that you might have for them. We pray that you would help us to realize that there is no relationship greater than knowing you as our Heavenly Father. And there is no plan greater than the plan that you have for each of your children. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.